Hello and welcome to Unashamedly Human, the podcast. This is episode 34 and my name is Emily Chadbourne. And this particular episode, along with most episodes these days, was recorded live in my free Facebook group, That Crazy Thing Called Life. And if you're not a member yet, go ahead to the show notes. There's a link in there that will take you straight to that group. Now, before we get on with this episode, can I please just ask that you share the shit out of it if you love it? You can just head over to iTunes and rate and review it. You can share it through the Spotify app. You can tell your friends about it. Barbara down the road, she probably needs to hear about it as well. You can tag me on social media, Emily_thatcrazythingcalledlife on Instagram. Share it to your Insta story. I would love it if you did that, I would. Hi, my name is Emily Chadbourne and welcome to Unashamedly Human, the podcast, where we explore how we can better understand our thoughts, feelings, and actions, change our results, and feel less alone as we navigate that crazy thing called life. This show is sponsored by absolutely bloody nobody because, well, no one is willing to pay me for this shit yet. But I am a huge believer in supporting other small businesses that I love and fellow entrepreneurs who, like me, are trying to make the world a better place. So, if you hear me recommend or promote other coaches, products or services, please know that it's not an ad. I just want to share the love. Also, though, if you did want to sponsor me, I would completely be okay with that. So you could email me at info@emilychadbourne.com. Do Chanel sponsor podcasts? Right, so today I want to talk about the people who maybe haven't found themselves with more time on their hands. Maybe they found themselves with what feels like more pressure on their hands. Maybe they feel like they have less time. They're a key worker. Maybe they're a nurse, a doctor. Maybe they're married to a key worker or a nurse or a doctor. Or maybe just maybe they're beginning to feel like slightly suffocated by the amount of people in their house all of a sudden. And I know there are a lot of people out there who are in that position. So yesterday, we talked about what you could do with the gift of time that we seem to have been given in this sort of weird little gap in history. And today, I want to talk about the section of this group who maybe don't feel like they've been given time. They maybe feel like they're being slightly robbed of time right now. So the first thing I want to say is you've got to be careful of martyrdom or victimhood. Now, I'm not calling anyone out being a martyr or a victim other than myself, because it's the favourite place for me to play is my martyrdom. I'm very attached to my victimhood. It's taken me years and years and years of work, and I would imagine probably the rest of my life, to come out from a place of being a victim. It's my go-to strategy in life. So I know that my kind of knee-jerk reaction, if you like, whenever I feel under pressure is to feel like the world has put it on my shoulders. I don't have any other choice. Well, I've just got to get on with it, haven't I? And it can quite quickly spiral into this lovely little play that you see unfolding in front of you where Emily is the victim of the world. And that is A, bullshit, because nobody can make me do anything that I don't want to do. It's just a succession of experiences where I don't stand firm in my boundaries and I compromise my boundaries and I say yes when I mean no. And the other thing is it's kind of gross to be around. It's kind of like, oh God, there's Emily doing that thing again. I don't want to be around it, and I'm me. So funnily enough, my friends don't want to be around it. My partner doesn't want to be around it. So how do you stop yourself going into victimhood or martyrdom? I think conscious awareness is it. That is the answer to that question. The moment you have conscious awareness that you're like, oh God, here I am again, acting like I'm in the worst position in the whole world. And I can feel it. I feel very connected to myself when I'm in my martyrdom. Very connected. Victimhood is the quickest way for me to connect to myself, because it's like me against the rest of the world. Nobody understands me. One of the other ways that you can really bring into check this kind of feeling like, well, I have to do it all. My partner's not doing anything and I've got to homeschool the kids and I still got to go to work. And that kind of attitude is to have some solid fucking boundaries in place. And what solid boundaries means is it's okay to say no to things. It's okay to say, hey, do you know what? I need some help. And that's step two, is really accepting help when it comes, or going and finding help if you need it. It's saying, hey, do you know what? I don't know how to homeschool my kids, but they're in a crucial year at school. Does anyone have any help? And if you need some help, there's a service thread that runs in this group, that crazy thing called Life. It's a pinned post at the top of the group. And it's an awesome little trading hub where people are trading their skills and services with each other. No money exchange at all. It's literally, hey, I can do some knitting, you know, or I can teach you this language, or I can assist you with government assistance, or I can help you teach your children. You know, it's about accepting help. When we sit in martyrdom or victimhood, it's really easy to ignore help when help is in front of us. We just don't see it because we're so addicted and committed to the vibration of victimhood. It's like, well, I have to do this by myself. No, you don't. No one's asking you to do this by yourself. Now more than ever, it's important that we step into community, that we step into unity, that we begin to rely on each other and help each other and support each other and know each other. Now more than ever, it's important that we become that society where we are there for each other and that we accept each other's help. You know, you're not meant to do all of this. We're not meant to do life by ourselves. I don't do life by myself. I don't sort my head out by myself. I don't navigate my business by myself. I do that with a team of coaches, a team of mentors, a team of friends. I'm very careful about who I let on that team, but the team is there. So, you know, be aware of having a kind of sense of martyrdom, that's step one, or victimhood, because I think a lot of people who tend to find themselves giving a lot can sometimes fall into that trap. It's just an observation. I'm not saying it's you. I'm not calling you out as being a victim. I'm saying that my observation after coaching women for years and years and years and studying human behavior for years and investing hundreds of thousands of dollars in that, what I know to be true is that when people have very fluid boundaries, i.e. they say yes when they mean no, and they find themselves doing more than is comfortable or safe for them, they compromise their own welfare, enjoyment, safety, integrity to please other people. Quite often there is an underlying belief system around martyrdom. It's just an observation, just giving you some stats, except without the actual stats. So number one, be aware of that martyrdom. And number two, give yourself permission to ask for help and to receive help. And that might mean a neighbor's going to go and do a supermarket shop this week. And you say, hey, would you mind? You know, I'm working 17 shifts at the hospital. All three kids are home. Would you mind picking me up some toilet roll if you can find any? That was a joke because of the toilet roll thing. It wasn't very funny. It might mean saying, okay, I need some help with homeschooling the kids. It might mean asking your kids to do some stuff around the house. It might mean sitting down with your partner and saying, if we are going to get through this, these need to be the boundaries that I have in place. It might mean having some harder conversations and standing in your power and speaking your truth. It might mean saying to your elderly parents, actually, do you know what? I'm not going to come and see you three times a day, every single day. Because if you're not looking after you, nobody else can be looked after in the bigger picture. And again, I think this is quite prevalent in people who tend to have a very strong tie to victimhood, or who people please, or who don't have enough self-worth to have really appropriate boundaries in their life, is they put everybody else in front of them, and then they wonder why the whole system goes to shit when they fall apart. Well, you're the fucking keep-in. So if you're looking after everybody else, but you're not looking after you, it doesn't matter that you're looking after everyone else now, because in the future, that's all going to fall to shit when you fall to shit. So be prepared to accept help. That's point number two. Point number three is to prioritize what's really important. And again, I think, you know, we're in this really strange transition of life globally where we are being given the option to, if we choose to, if we're brave enough to, if we're courageous enough to, if we're willing to sit in the silence and to really look, then we are being given the opportunity to reprioritize what we thought was important. And that doesn't happen very often, man. That's a gift. So really start thinking, well, what is important? It is important that I show up to work at the hospital. It is important that I love my children. It is important that I have time for me. What's not important? Ironing the fucking clothes. That shit is not important. You're not fucking leaving the house anyway. And if you are, then it's to go to work. I literally had this conversation with a woman yesterday, and she was like, and I've got so much to do. And I was like, tell me what's on your to-do list. I've got to clean the oven. I've got to iron my clothes. I was like, whoa, 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 sweet child of mine. What do you mean you're fucking ironing some fucking clothes? How is that important in your life right now? What story are you telling yourself around what is important? Why do you need to iron your clothes? I don't iron my clothes when there's not a global pandemic on. Because I've got better things to do with my time. Like, nothing. I'd rather do nothing than iron my clothes. So, you know, really start prioritising what is important. It's important that my children feel safe and loved. It's important that I go to work because I'm a key worker. It's important that my elderly parents get checked in on once a day and that they've got enough food. That's it. What else is important? Nothing else is important. Nothing else is important. Quite literally, anything else that you can think of, not important. Got to mow the lawn, not important. Got to clean the oven, not important. Can some stuff just fall off the list? Heaven forbid. The fourth thing is that the rules have changed. So change with the rules. And what I mean by this is that a month ago, we were all living under the illusion that if this house of cards didn't get knocked by any wind, that nobody came along and pulled the ace of spades out from underneath us, we would all be okay. But that's not what happened. The entire system, mainly economic, that we have been operating on has just proven to be fallible. You know, I've seen companies close because one thing led to another thing, which had a knock-on effect to another thing, which had a knock-on effect to another thing. But if you'd asked the CEO of that company a month ago, do you feel safe and stable? Can you guarantee your company employer's jobs for the next foreseeable future? The answer would have been yes. And that's been quite a shock to the system for everybody. But trying to play by the old rules, when those old rules have just been proven not to work, is causing a resistance that I see as quite painful for a lot of people. It's like trying to homeschool your children to the quality and the level of school, but doing it at home by yourself without the resources, without the training. And actually, you know, I'm not gonna go into a rant about the education system, but, you know, maybe, just maybe, education isn't about adding up all the time. Education could be about learning about how to be kind and compassionate, how to sit with yourself, how to meditate, how to express your feeling through the written word, how to express your feeling through painting, how to express your feeling through Play-Doh. Education, a bit like wealth, comes in so many forms. It doesn't just come under the structure that we have been working under. And now that structure has shifted. It's collapsed in a lot of places. So don't try and follow the old rules of an old game, which has just proven to fail. It's time to change the rules. You know, so your kids don't go through every single worksheet that the teacher set them. That's okay. What does it matter? So you don't iron your clothes on a Sunday night anymore. That's okay. What does it matter? Like, allow some fluidity in this time, because the change will be gentler if we come to this with experiment as opposed to the rigidity of trying to recreate what once was. Like, we have the opportunity now to be curious about how else it could be. We get the opportunity now to play around with doing things differently. That is an opportunity which doesn't come along very often. So take it. Run with it. Explore it. Have fun with it. What if we did things differently? What if we never ironed our clothes? What if we tidied our own bedrooms? What if we didn't do schoolwork today? Play with it. Make it fun. But the rules have changed on you, so it's okay that you change the rules. And then the fifth and final thing that I wanted to talk about, if you are finding yourself busier than normal at this time, is that your attitude is everything. And this is just life in general. The experience that you have of life will be dependent on the attitude that you have to life. Again, I'm not calling out anyone here, and I think I just want a massive nod to anyone who works in the medical services and who is on the front line or who is a key worker at this time. I know you're under pressure, and I know there's a lot going on, and I know the future feels quite uncertain. It feels like there's this weird calm before the storm, and we're not sure when or how the storm is going to come, and it's a very odd time. I really understand it. And if you are a nurse or a doctor, my God, all of my hats off to you. You get to either stand and say, I am going to approach this time with love and gratitude and compassion and come from a place of service, or you can do it with resentment and anger and frustration. And if you do it with resentment and anger and frustration, that will be the reality that you continue to live in. And if we all do it with anger and frustration, and I can't remember what the other word was that I used, but if we all adopt that attitude, that will be the global change that comes about. We will live in a more frustrated world after this. That we get the chance to make our vote on how we want the world to be by being that today. It's not about voting in the new leader. It's not about policy reform. It's not about what's going to happen with the next bit of legislation. We get to choose how the global shift is going to come by adopting the attitude of how we want life to be. The attitude with which you do your job will depend on the reality that you exist in, but also the vibrational frequency that other people around you will have to exist in. If you are walking into, let's say, a hospital right now, and you're like, this is ridiculous, I've been asked to work another 4 shifts, I'm not being paid enough for this, then that energy, that is the reality that you are creating for yourself. And then you're throwing that bad vibrational frequency onto the people around you. And what you'll probably find is people will move away from you, and then you'll wonder why no one's supporting you and I'm on this on my own. And there you are again, just completely reinforcing your victimhood. So I trust that that has been useful for anybody who, like I said, is feeling not like they have the space to go and be, which is what we talked about yesterday, but who is feeling like they have less time and they're under a bit more pressure. So I'm just going to run through those 5 points again. Be really aware of not dipping into martyrdom or victimhood. And you will know that you're doing that because you'll be compromising your boundaries. You'll be people pleasing. You'll be saying yes when you mean no. And then you'll be having that conversation with yourself or anyone else who listens about how fucking awful it is for you. Accept help when help is there and actively seek help, because there's a lot of it. There are a lot of people who are like, hey, let me help homeschool your kids, or hey, let me help you with your shopping, or hey, let me help you with X, Y, or Z. Or sometimes just let me be a virtual cup of tea in an ear for you. The next one is to really prioritize what is important and get rid of the shit that isn't crucially important at this time. Change the rules because the rules have already changed. So be more fluid with what you have previously thought is right or wrong, or, you know, the system by which you have been existing, because a lot of those systems have just kind of collapsed around us. So now is the time to be curious about how else it could be. And then that fifth one, of course, is to come with the attitude of service and community and love. Because if we all adopt the attitude of community and service and love in this time, I believe that after this, the new world will be one of an attitude of community and service and love.
If you're anything like me, your first thought in the morning is often one of, oh, holy fuck. We wake up instantly feeling like we're in lack. Not enough sleep, not enough time, not enough. We scroll through social media and feel not enough. We think about our day ahead and feel underprepared, uninspired, or overwhelmed. What if we're not enough? Before we're even out of bed, our mind is telling us all sorts of crazy stories, and these stories set the precedent for our day and have a huge effect on our results. Imagine if you could start your day with a different thought. Imagine waking up to a daily reminder of the greatness that lies within you. Imagine having your own personal and funny cheerleader inspiring you every single day. Imagine your first waking thought being one of abundance and purpose. Well, imagine no longer, my friend, because now you can wake up with M. Wake Up with M is a text message service for women who are ready to wake up to their power, purpose, and passion. A daily motivational message from me personally to get you smiling into your day and vibing high from the moment you wake up, and all for less than the price of a couple of lattes a month. And even better, you get the first month completely for free. Because, well, you know, you might actually find it really annoying to have a daily reminder that you're amazing and capable and awesome. head to emilychadbourne.com/wakeup or check out the link in the show notes below.